Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. Our physical appearance has become increasingly central to our identity. In some ethnic communities, skin color plays a major role in determining a woman's sense of worthiness. The trauma caused by colorism, a prejudice that favors people with lighter skin over those with darker skin within a racial group, causes serious mental and emotional effects on members affected by it. My guest today, Amira Adawe, has been on a crusade to remove biases against dark-skinned people and boost the self-esteem of those who have internalized this discrimination. Amira, a public health researcher and educator, founded the Beauty Well Project, a nonprofit organization that aims to end skin lightening practices and encourage women to embrace their ethnic identity. In our conversation, Amira talks about various facets of colorism, including the psychological impact and her advocacy to change the narrative of beauty to make it more inclusive. She also offers advice on how girls and women can accept their natural beauty and love the skin that they're in. This is an important conversation that you do not want to miss. And remember, if you enjoyed it, please hit the like button and subscribe for future episodes. Hi, Amira. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, I stumbled on your article about the Beauty Well Project and your goal in uplifting women who are impacted by this culture of skin lightening, and I immediately knew that I wanted to reach out to you. So I'm so glad that you agreed.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on this episode today.
Great. So my first question is, what inspired you to start the Beauty Well movement? And why do you feel so strongly about spreading this message about the negative effects of colorism?
Mm-hmm. So to give you background, I mean, colorism, it's so much embedded in culture. It's a global issue. Impacts Africa, Asia, Latin America, predominantly countries that experienced colonizations. And as well as cultures and groups that have experienced slavery in the case of United States. Mm-hmm. So that's highly prevalent around the world. And I am from Africa, particularly East Africa, Somalia, where it's highly practiced colorism within groups. Because of when the colonizers left, that becomes so much embedded in cultures. And so growing up as a young girl, people always used to comment on my skin color because I'm a darker shade compared to the rest of my family members. But I was very lucky child because of my mother was very protective, and she always protected me and my sister, our self-esteem and how we feel about who we are and our identities in general. But young girls around me who were the same age as me or older, didn't have all of these, you know, protective factors. They were all experiencing colorism. And so seeing that, you know, growing up in Mogadishu, growing up here in Minnesota, I could see people, that whole colorism become a culture. And so as people age, they use skin lighting products. And so so the culture did not change even when we migrated to here. And so the reason that I started Beautywell is that given my lived experience of colorism and what had happened to me at very young age and people around me, as well as my education background of public health and my 16 years working in public health government and being a researcher, that really sets me and informs me very well to create such a nonprofit that actually not uplifts communities and empowers them, but to address these chemicals that are impacting their health as a result of colorism. And making sure that we redefine those beauty standards and create safe environment for everybody that's experiencing colorism, and that in that case, all communities of color.
Yeah, I grew up in the Indian culture, and you're probably familiar that colorism is very, very prevalent in the country and in the Indian diaspora in any part of the world. And I grew up hearing that, oh, don't go out in the sun too much, you're going to get darker, and never use skin lightening products, thank goodness. But yeah. I did notice it, and it really disturbed me, and I still see it being mentioned in my family and in my among my relatives, and that's why I feel strongly about it. And when I read about what you're trying to do, I felt that this was great, that we have people raising awareness about this. We really need to do our best to say, hey, this is not the way, this is not the way women should be judged.
Yeah. And as a result of that, people are dealing with multiple consequences of both human health, environmental health, mm-hmm. Overall well-being of humans, and so we're dealing with multiple adverse effects.
Right. And you briefly mentioned that skin lightening practices are not only prevalent in Africa, but also in any community where there's a variety of skin shades. For instance, Asia. Like I mentioned, the Indian culture, but also in other Asian countries, China, Japan, Korea, also in the Caribbean, Latin America, and even Arab countries. So in your experience, have you noticed that there are any common psychological issues that drive this bias?
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, most of these countries or communities have either went through colonizations or slavery. And that itself, it colonized the minds. And so that colonization created impact of cultural colonization, which as a return, when people are getting raised in these cultures, these communities, they just raise their kids based on what they know. And that has the colorism culture, where young girls are getting commented on their skin color on a daily basis. And so people grow up hearing that they're not good enough, they're not beautiful enough. I go to Kenya a lot, and it's one of the sites that I do research, and a couple years ago I was at the grocery store, and the grocery store actually section of it was advertising to young girls before they go back to school skin lighting products. And so
really?
Very young age, yeah, when people are getting exposed to skin color, yeah, and
how different are these girls who they're marketing to?
So school age girls, so these were like 7th graders, 8th graders, and 9th graders. Yeah,
so
very young, you know. And so at that age, to have that thinking about who you are, and even here, I do research in public schools and charter schools, and I see many young girls struggling with their body image and who they are because of these cultural practices, and that impacts them psychologically. And that's one of the reasons that we have Young Women's Wellness and Leadership Initiative to uplift young girls who are in high school of color, to uplift their self-esteem, but also work with them on their wellness, but also teaching them about leadership and showing them representatives of women who look like them, who are in leadership or other positions. And so, yes, to answer your question, it has huge psychological impact. And that is some of the work that we're doing to undo.
Yeah. I remember watching an interview of Lupita Nyong'o with Oprah, and she talked about how it really affected her on such a deep level and absolutely ruined her self-esteem just being this darker girl growing up in South Africa.
I mean, I think she's from Kenya. Yeah.
She's from Kenya, right. Yeah. But what I'm really curious about, and I don't know if you found this out in your research, where did the notion that lighter is better come from? Like, why do we feel on the cellular level that someone who's lighter looks better? Like, I get it. I know social and cultural conditioning.
Yeah.
Does believe that, but have you found anything out about that?
That's very obvious. That came from the ideology of white supremacy. If you're white, you're good. If you're white, you're beautiful. If you're white, you're going to get jobs. And so that is has been going on centuries and centuries. And so basically, that's the white supremacy ideology that is embedded in cultures.
Okay. So it's just started since human beings came on the planet and diversity became prevalent.
Since the ideology of white supremacy started. I mean, we're all human. We all have differences, but a lot of similarities. But the ideology of white supremacy actually teaches the world that if you're white, you are good. If you're white, you belong to the better side of human than the bad side of human. And there's no bad side of human. We're all equal and beautiful as God created us. And so if you read the history, you will learn the ideology of white supremacy, around the world, how teaching of these white supremacy ideologies started and how it's now embedded in systems, the systems in every country.
Yeah, I mean, there still are groups that are fueled by that ideology. We still have white supremacist groups. They're still there. But the good news is that they're fewer than there were in the past.
Well, it's in the system and it's in the cultures. It's in our cultures now. Why do people want to change their skin color? Why will women or some men in the case of Africa are not happy for who they are? Why are they not getting jobs if they're darker skin?
Yeah, I heard about that.
The ideology in our cultures.
Yeah. I've read some statistics that say that it even impacts how you're perceived by employers, your skin color.
Absolutely, yeah. That's relevant in the United States. Too. Okay. Yeah, very common in the United States. And that impacts a lot Black communities compared to brown communities.
Okay. And I know you've done a lot of work on skin lightening products, like the creams and the ointments. The most famous one that the most famous one in India is Fair and Lovely, and that's marketed heavily to the public.
Yeah.
So the messages that we see on these ads and these commercials, how does it impact the way we think and perceive our self-worth, women in particular?
Mm-hmm. Well, in general, people look up to their role models. So if you are a celebrity right now and that you are somebody's role model. Yourself today, you are somebody's role model. And so if you come public and using skin lighting products and that you're showing on in one of your films or even in one of your podcasts that you're using skin lighting, that actually normalizes for that child or that teen who is looking up to you as a role model. And so that itself, it has impact on the individuals who are using overall marketing in general. There, you know, like there are certain countries that heavily gets marketed of skin lighting in the case of Africa, compared to other countries. And so right now, actually, as part of my fellowship, my research focuses on skin lighting marketing and how they target low-income and middle-income countries. And so it's not final yet. It will be final in 1 year and a half. And so it's a huge, huge impact. And it varies each country or each continent.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you're targeting the lower and middle class because they have less access to resources and education that can change the way they believe about their skin color and how it connects with their identity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned the identity part. And that also ties to, you know, when the scenario that I was using about the role model. And so young people look up to people who look like them, you know, whether it's TV or whether it's general advertisement. And so that is the biggest trigger for young people to use skin lighting products. That's one of it, but it's not also only marketing, but also cultural practices that promote the use of skin lighting.
Such as what?
Such as I was mentioning earlier, it's so much embedded in cultures. You know, my research findings in the African communities, in Latin American communities, and the Asian communities, especially the Hmong community, people talked about the countries that they come from. Like if you are darker skin, you are considered as a lower class person.
The caste system, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Working class person. But also many women talked about their likelihood of finding husband.
Depending
on their skin color. So you know that's very relevant in the Indian culture as well.
Yeah. I mean, they literally say, the bride that we're looking for has to be fair skinned.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's very common with a lot of cultures, the African cultures and other Asian cultures, but also the Latin American cultures. And what's so special also for the Latin America is in terms of my research in the Latin American communities, that their skin color also depends on power attainment. So the lighter you are, the more you get into positions of power. In political or other positions of power. And so it heavily associates with your economic well-being, you being a lighter skin. So these are other things that are contributing to the high practice of skin lighting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand. It's just your skin color is determined by the amount of melanin, like that just a compound in your skin. And that can really have such a big say in your place in society. And that's just, it baffles me just to think about it from that perspective. And I think that's, I wish people would think in that way. It is just a pigment. It's nothing.
Yeah. Celine, you just saying that will empower people who will listen to this podcast, because that's the teaching that people need to hear. These are the comments that people need to hear over and over and over, empowering them.
Yeah.
You know, and showing them who they, you know, like really are, and that they're accepted.
Yes. But even if they know it, if society is not reflecting back to them, it's hard for them to believe that. So what can we do on a collective level to change this narrative of lighter is prettier? Like, how can we change that? Like, what can we do? I know the work that you're doing, we need more people doing that sort of thing, but is there anything else for, especially for those who are in leadership roles listening to this, like, what can they do?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, you know, this issue is a multi-approach. And so the individual work, you know, when I say the individual work, it's the internal work that all of us, you know, we all have experienced this one way or another. So we all have to do that internal healing. Some of us never went through that. And so that's the journey that the work that I do is to guide people to go through these internal healings. And so we have to seek and create. In that process, all of us, we have to create a safe space for these individuals who are actually looking into these healing processes. And so in terms of somebody in a higher position or a leadership, you can simply mentor every year two young girls of color. You know, that mentorship itself helps them a lot. And we have seen that through evidence, through the program that we run, that representation, not only the mentorship, but also you going into schools that are predominantly young black girls or in general communities of color, presenting to them and sharing them, Celine, this is what I do, that itself uplifts their self-esteem. They can see future, they want to, so the idea is that we want them to see good in themselves beyond their skin color, that their skin color should not be defining them. And so, and that's how we create society that is welcoming, and keep educating people about colorism, the history of colorism, and how that is playing out on a daily basis, you know, in our cultures, but also in the systems. I mean, we have to raise awareness of colorism, awareness of skin lighting practices, awareness of the toxics in the skin lighting practices that are impacting us psychologically, and health and the environment. And so that's why I'm saying that it's a multi-approach that every individual can take part of, you know, and redefine beauty. You know, the simplest thing is redefining beauty, that beauty is not only white person, that beauty can be in every skin color. Every skin color is beauty.
Every feature, every facial feature.
Because when we talk about colorism, it's not only the skin color, but also the hair texture.
Exactly, the facial features.
And so so some communities get more discriminatory because of how they look like, you know, beyond the skin color. And so how do we create these safe, smart environments to make sure that these individuals heal? I mean, and we're talking about colorism has been in communities of color for years and years. And so it's so much embedded in the culture that we need to heal these communities, but also undo these cultural practices. And that is something that communities of color need to lead. I mean, the other communities, the white communities, can become allies and support the initiative.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask, because it's not just about raising awareness amongst those who are affected by it, like young girls of color, and even older women for that matter, but also the other communities who, other races, other cultures who might be subscribing to this and judging people of color.
Yeah, I mean, this thing, even those who use skin lighting, I mean, like, this should be a zero of judgment, because anybody who sees themselves that they're not good enough because of their skin color or use skin lighting products, they're already struggling with all of the things that they have went through. And so added to judging them, that will create more stigma. And that's why we see a lot of people who use skin lighting, unless you have relationship with them, they will never disclose to you. And that relates to the stigma associated with being judgmental. And so that's why I'm saying that safe space. I'm keep repeating safe space. And this is everybody, regardless of what skin color and what culture. But especially communities of color need to own, because this issue impacts communities of color. So they need to own, they need to lead all of this activism, but they also need support from the greater, you know, communities in the case of United States, from other Americans as well who are not experiencing this. Because here, I'll give you an example. Through my advocacy work, you know, I've been doing this work for 10 years. And so I've been meeting with government leaders to tell them that this, we need to regulate these skin lighting products. And then some government officials said to me that this does not impact all communities. However, it does impact, because these products are ending up in the environment. And so we're talking about mercury and other toxics that are ending up on a daily basis in this environment. So in return, it impacts every single person. So this should be everybody's problem, but communities of color to actually lead them, you know, lead this issue, but also heal, you know, they need to heal.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And what about parents and teachers, the ones who are kids really look up to? Because sometimes parents are the ones who pass on this message.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we do colorism trainings for teachers. We do parents, you know, like parents wellness programs for parents. And what we teach them is positive parenting as it relates to colorism and how they comment about, you know, beauty in general, but also skin color in general. You're right, you know. But the thing is, we can't also blame the parents, because that is what they learned in their culture. Mm-hmm. And so we have to teach them about how to do positive parenting and what they can do to actually interrupt that cycle. We don't want this cycle to continue, you know, because that mother or father learned that from their, you know, mother or father. And so how do we interrupt that, this cycle, to make sure that it doesn't continue, this whole colorism cycle? So we do trainings for teachers too, in public schools and charter schools, and colorism trainings. And that's all over the United States, groups that contact us and want us to do training in their spaces to make sure that in classrooms, that there is no colorism practice in classrooms, because that impacted the education of the child as well.
That's amazing. And is there any online resource that people can use?
There's a lot of online resources. However, it's important that they go through the trainings, because it's important.
Well,
as a
right
teacher.
Now it's a little difficult with the pandemic. So
we do the trainings through Zoom.
Oh, you do? Okay. Okay.
We do these trainings through Zoom. Yeah. Oh, since March, we do everything through virtual. Virtual is happening just the life that we used to do. So all conferences are happening through virtual, all sessions are happening through virtual. Mm-hmm. And so these schools that we partner with are doing this through virtual as well.
Okay.
But the thing is that, so it's so important that, you know, teachers learn this, because teachers are role models. And so these young kids look up to their teachers. So it's important that they identify in schools what they're experiencing. But also parents, as you said, you know, I know a lot of the young girls that I talk to through my research, they always comment about how their mothers talk about their skin color. And so, and that is a negative way. And so it's so important to have positive parenting.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm an aunt of a 17-year-old girl, and I feel a responsibility to help her feel comfortable with her skin color. And I'll definitely be looking at the events, things you have to offer.
Or you can go to our website. Our young girls in one of our cohort created Black in Color project. Each one of them talked about their stories. Mm-hmm. And so it's on our website. You will see that too. And yeah, on our YouTube too, young girls also created a colorism project and how young people experience colorism.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Amira. Okay, so my last question is, do you have a message or any advice for young girls and women who are watching this who are impacted by colorism, and what can they do to start embracing their natural beauty?
I think every young girl who's listening to this, I will absolutely suggest to them that they really embrace who they are and that they learn about their identities. And when I say learn about their identities, intentionally learn who they are, actually, where they originated, what is the history of their country, if they have country of origin, so learning their history, actually, it's a starting point, so that will help them a lot, so they don't have to deal with identity crisis, because we know that young people that were born in this country, but their family members from origins, like different countries, always struggle with identity issues. And so learning their identity is such an important thing. Seeking a mentor who will actually mentor you in a really positive way. And in this case, be intentional of seeking a mentor of color to make sure that at least not that I'm saying that they can't have other mentors, but in terms of building their self-esteem and making sure that, they can achieve and be success, getting that mentorship from a person of color, I think that will help a lot, especially for young girls. And then seeking programs that create for them a safe space. In the case that I mentioned earlier, we have a young women's leadership program, and that's basically safe space for them, to every week check in with them and talk to them about what they're going through and then provide to them the support that they need. And so seeking programs like that, wherever they are, I think it's very important to uplift their self-esteem. And then taking part of campaigns to actually undo colorism, to undo skin whitening practices. I mean, young people can even initiate that. I mean, when we created our young women's cohort, the young women's actually identified the Black in Color project and said, we will create this social media campaign to uplift young girls of color, especially young Black girls who are struggling in public schools or charter schools or experiencing colorism. And so they can initiate leadership projects like that will uplift other young girls. And so keep empowering themselves, learning, but also being happy for who they are. And that gets to learning about their identity and the history of who they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then most importantly, their wellness, both mentally and physically, taking care of their health.
Right. And do you recommend any social media resources? Because we know that the young people they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok and all these. So I think following certain people, the kind of people they follow on social media, can also really have an impact, because young people do spend a lot of time on these platforms.
I think use these platforms in a positive way, whether to advance the issues that you want to address, mm-hmm. or get the resources. So I will suggest, always looking into a reliable information and not just accepting every information that gets presented on social media. And when it comes to beauty, there's so many different characters on YouTube and Instagram, yes, that even promote colorism. you know, yet will pretend that they're advertising makeups, but literally promoting colorism. And so being careful of that, I think it's very important. And so so we always also post resources on our Instagram page, which is @beautywell, and they can always check out what we post on skin lighting issue or colorism. But in terms of, you know, getting information on, from social media, I will highly recommend double checking that information. And who are they getting that information from? Anybody that presents to them through social media information, they should research who that is. You know, and I'm talking about in terms of academic background or experience background of why they're sharing this information, because that's very important, because there are a lot of people who are misinforming people and keep promoting colorism. And so being careful of that, I think on social media, it's very important.
And I also think following people who are speaking against this, you know, for you, for instance.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're out there. I mean, there are women, there are tons of women who are bringing this whole notion that it's okay to be bigger, like in terms of weight, and they're trying to remove that whole stigma.
Absolutely. So that's why I'm saying that they should do their own research.
Yeah.
And look into who is actually speaking to the issues that they care about, you know? And some of these young people, maybe they don't care about addressing colorism, but they care about addressing environmental justice issues. Mm-hmm. So who is doing that? Because that gets to also addressing racism. And so who is doing that they can follow? So I think it's very important that they do their own research. The other thing I would suggest is that, you know, doing less filtering, you know, their photos, the videos. These are always a problem.
All of us are guilty of doing that.
So I think young, you know, when people start at very young age to actually learn these habits to not do, I think that helps a lot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even the airbrush in magazines, you know, that's the old way, old filtering.
That's a marketing example, and you know, and fashion, you know, industry example, and the beauty industry example of, you know, filtering people and promoting colorism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's unfortunate, but we have people like you helping us get over that whole that bias and trying to eradicate colorism. And
too, yeah. And thanks for actually you know, initiating to raise awareness on this issue. That's very important.
Yes. It's something that's close to my heart. And I'm so appreciative of you being here and sharing your message with us, Amira. You're doing amazing work by advocating for this cause.
Thank you, Selena. Same to you. And good luck with your work that you're doing and everything you do.
Thank you. How can people find out more about you and the Beauty Well Project?
Yeah, so people can follow me on Twitter at A Adawi, AADAWE, Amira Adawi, or you can type Amira Adawi and follow me on Twitter. Same with LinkedIn. And then also people can follow our website. It's www.beautywell.org. And then same on Instagram and Twitter at Beautywell. And same with Facebook, they can follow us. And also we have LinkedIn account as well. So yeah, so they can always follow my account and Beautywell account, as well as our website, to get more information. Or people can always email me and ask for questions that they have, or resources that they want to get on colorism or skin lighting, overall health wellness to address these issues.
Wonderful. Thank you so much again, Amira. And I hope you have a wonderful day out there in Minnesota.
Same to you, Celine. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.